listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Vibration Station, the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. You know it, you know it, you know it, you know it. How is everybody feeling today? We got the one and only brother Jay Money Pyro.
Hey, what's up, what's up, what's up, David Crockett? What's up, man? What's cracking?
We got Josh, brother Josh, in the studio.
Hey, guys.
We got a lot going on today. We have wonderful experiences that we'd like to share with y'all. We have some perspectives on, you know, the human experience we'd like to share with y'all. And, you know, as you know, this is the show where it's all about spreading a positive vibration, a good vibe, good energy, trying to inspire you to remember that you have a birthright to create anything that you want. So that's just why we're here. What's up? Once again, sending you unconditional love and appreciation from our hearts to yours. Welcome to the show. So people, we in you know, depending on where we are, this is internet radio, therefore it does broadcast worldwide. So it all depends on where you are. You could be in L.A., Los Angeles. We are on L.A. Talk Radio, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. You could also be in, let's see, you could be in VA. You could be in Japan. You could be in Australia.
Ethiopia.
Ethiopia. Any place. So what my point to you is that depending on where you are right now listening to us, you have a you have an understanding for your surroundings, right? We kind of fit into a niche. We fit into you know, our comfort zone, like our group. But it's all part of society. It's like, for example, Josh, right, was just in Australia
for
a month and a half, and yeah. I'm using that as to our advantage, right, listeners? We're using this to our advantage that Josh went and had this experience, because I'm going to bring him back on the show. And what we're going to do today for you, for us, for everyone, is we're going to kind of talk about the social differences. We're going to break down, you know, going halfway across the world, right? Going like pretty far, right?
Pretty far.
Maybe not a whole halfway, but you know, you're quite far away from where we are, LA, obviously. So,
about 7,000 miles away, Dave.
Right. So 7,000 miles away. That's what is how many hours on a plane is that? Like
it's
14?
About 15 and a half 14, hours.
15 and a half? Oh.
No.
Wow. So yeah, like halfway across. That's
hell yeah.
Yeah, totally, man. So the point being, we're going to break down kind of the social structures of where you are, you know, your comfort zone in your society, what your society's standards are, right? Like what the norm is for you and how it differs from other places around the world. How this is going to help you is maybe, right, you can gain, for the first time in your life, a new perspective, a new firsthand perspective. Well, it wouldn't be really firsthand, because that would mean that you'd be experiencing it. But Josh experienced it firsthand. So you're getting the firsthand perspective on, I guess, a new way of seeing how people can operate. A new way of, you know, understanding another niche outside of your own. You're like, Dave, how does this help us? Well, see, ladies and gentlemen, perspective is everything. And I'm a huge, huge fan of, first of all, believing that if you broaden, if you are open, if you are willing to broaden your perspective, I'm a firm believer that you will know more about yourself. Obviously, more about your surroundings, and generally, you're going to be a more knowledgeable person. If you keep an open mind, if you're open to hearing other perspectives, to seeing the way other people live, I love those. Josh, what are those? Those like, is it like a camp type thing? But it's not like a camp. It's like it's a camp for really, really, really awesome people that like want to go to like. Kind of rural parts of the world, and they go and help build...
The Adventure Club.
Is that what it's called? No.
I'm pretty sure it's called the Adventure Club.
Is it really?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes, sir.
In all honesty.
Yes, sir.
The Adventure Club. Where, like, they go to, like, Ethiopia, and, like, they...
That's right.
They get, like, tons of wood. Like,
that's
tons
right.
of wood. And
yeah.
Food and water and, like, just... Okay, so talk about perspective, right? That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. And then those people come back, and they're so awesome. They're so humble, you know? They're like, they're in a whole new realm of understanding, of perception. Because they go to these places, and, you know, with no understanding of how they really have it, you know? We're so used to our daily lives of waking up in our comfortable beds and having our you know, comforters and our nice showers to take in the morning, our nice socks to put on. Right? So you get what I'm saying. So today's show is perspective. Josh.
Yeah.
I need to ask you for the listeners, for myself,
of course,
what was probably the thing that was most different, had the greatest difference.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, tell me.
Australia, believe it or not, is actually very Americanized.
Okay.
Very Americanized. You know, they're catching up quite well. The people...
Which isn't necessarily a good thing.
No, I'm just kidding. But I'll tell you something.
Yeah, I want to know more about, like, the culture. Like, the people.
Yeah.
Like how like, people down here, man,
okay.
Like, you know, we always talk about... You know, how we're driving and someone will, like, flip someone out. You know, and I'm sure they have
that down there.
No,
they definitely do, David.
I'm sure. So go on.
I just find that Australians are a lot easier to talk to. I'll give you an example.
Please do.
I was walking on the streets, you know, just casual American guy. Walking down the streets, I come across a very nice young lady, and I ask her to take a picture of me next to the statue. So, if I do that in America, you know, same thing is going to happen. They're going to take the picture. They're going to, you know...
Right.
You know,
right.
Everything's going to go smooth sailing. But in Australia, I think the major difference is that you actually start a conversation. You actually... You start talking about different things. And then, long story short, I get a date with the girl.
No way! That's awesome, bro.
Not that it's gonna really help me since I'm only there for about a month and a half.
Hey,
but,
man, why?
But
why
hey, you know, I got a casual date with it.
That
you
would
know?
Help
I know.
You.
I met an acquaintance, and you know, we went to a couple bars, and everything was, you know, smooth sailing over there. I think in America it's a lot more difficult. Well, maybe not a lot more, but I would say it's more difficult talking to women in LA. I would think it's a little more intimidating. Over there in Australia, they welcome you.
Really?
Talk to me, baby. Talk to me.
Well, you're also an American.
That's
right?
True.
So
Australians find Americans quite sexy. I'm
they do.
Lie.
I mean, also, not only is he an American, but he is Josh.
Oh, God.
And most people, most human beings on the planet find Josh attractive.
Yeah, so. Baby, yeah.
So, I mean, that's a given. Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
That's awesome. That's cool. I would say probably another major difference in Australia is when you ask a girl to, you know, take a picture of you and your family or whatever. In the United States, most of them have tops on when they're doing that. And I feel like in Australia, a lot of it is topless. A lot of the, right? Like, that's what I've heard. No?
No, I actually haven't seen any topless.
No? Is that just myths? No?
Maybe there's specified beaches for that, but in the place where I was staying, I was staying in a city called Melbourne, and I haven't
Well, I've
seen...
never been to Australia. I wouldn't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm just saying that in Melbourne, where I was staying, I was staying...
making a joke, too.
Oh.
No.
Very
well,
funny.
I have heard, though, that Australia, like, a lot, like, there's... It's, like, a very topless... like place. I heard that like a lot of guys like are just wearing
David,
like, short
David,
shorts.
David,
and, like,
if you want to join a nudist colony, by all means,
I'll just do it.
All
right, I'll just do it. I'll stop trying to vicariously talk about Australia to cover up my habits, my whatever.
For all the listeners listening right now,
okay.
David just took off his shirt, and
yes.
It's getting quite graphic up in here.
Yeah.
A little bit uncomfortable.
Okay. So, back to Australia.
All right.
So here's the thing. My question for you is, could you see how there is definitely a societal difference? Could you see how, like people...
Yeah.
Like, how people act differently? See, I'm talking... Like, the thing that fascinates me is, like... Mm. In a society, people will, like, for the most part, act, like, the same. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's general, subconscious... I don't want to say subconscious isn't the right word. There's, like, general just agreements that everybody makes in a society. But unconscious is the word. They're, like, general unconscious agreements that everybody makes. Like, they don't necessarily know about it. They don't, like, know that they're doing it, but they're all agreeing to it because it's in a society. For example, take like when someone, you know, someone's like in line, okay, right? You're waiting in line, okay? And then let's say that somebody like comes in and, you know, you've been places or whatever before and someone will like walk in front of you and just be like, oh, my spot was saved. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're just going to take this like just for like an example.
Okay.
So you're the person that just got, like, stepped in front of, right? Most people, at least especially at County Recorder, if you're in Los Angeles, you go County Recorder, you're in line for, like, 2 hours, someone steps in front of you, you have a really bad attitude.
Okay. Right?
You're like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I've been waiting here. And they're like, no, like, I just ran out to my car to put some more meter, or change in the meter. Like, I've been here. I've only been gone, like, 10 minutes. Like, my car's, like, really far. Like... You know? Okay, but that's like people are automatically agreeing to like have like a confrontation like and but everybody would do that. It's not there's going to be a confrontation if somebody cuts somebody else in line, right? Like especially in Los Angeles. And I know this for a fact. The reason why I'm talking about this is because every Thursday I have to go down to county. I work for a newspaper on Thursdays, a wonderful newspaper. And I file the DBAs, right? The fictitious business names for people. And I just strut on down to county and wait in line. And I do that I do that like for the newspaper. That's just like what takes up my Thursdays. Because somebody needs to, you know, file everyone's fictitious business name. So, yeah, I'll be filing your business for you. No, I'm totally kidding. But the point is, every single Thursday that I go in there, every single Thursday, somebody is in a bad mood. There's somebody that's getting mad at somebody else. Somebody that's getting frustrated at one of the tellers, one of the clerks. Someone that's getting mad because someone cut them. That happens all the time, always. Nobody can ever, like, just stay in line because you were waiting in line for so long. So people, like, leave, and then they'll come back, and then, like, you know, somebody else will come in. And so my point being, is that a human trait? Is that, like, a general human trait? Or is that just, like, we've been so conditioned, like, this is my spot. I've been waiting here for so long in, like, L.A. because lines are so long in traffic. But then, like, in Australia, like, maybe people are really cool. Maybe they're like, oh, do you just want to scoot in front of me in line? Like, if you go...
Oh.
No?
I don't think so, David. I
Same
mean,
idea?
Australians,
it's more like a human...
I think it's more of a human reaction in general. I mean, if you go to any... I'm pretty sure that if you go to any
You're
country...
You're like Japan? Think of like Japan?
I'm pretty...
There's so many lines in Japan. I think of.
I'll just tell you something. Australians can get very offended very quickly.
Really?
Yes. I mean, Americans can as well. But if you piss off an Australian, David... Hmm. It's going to be a hailstorm, dog. I mean, you're going to have a lot of problems. You never want to piss off anyone in general, but I'm just saying that.
Of course.
You know, pissing off people in LA is just as easy as pissing off people in Australia.
In Australia?
Yes.
I see. So I guess the conclusion that we're coming to is no matter where you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
No matter... I guess your surroundings are like your societal differences. There are still fundamental core agreements that we as the collective make. Like it's not like just because society is conditioned to certain things, like only. Well, I guess it depends on what you're talking about too.
I think that people in Australia expect less, and people in America expect more. Let me give you an example.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Tips.
Okay.
Okay, you go to a restaurant in LA, you obviously leave a 20% tip, right?
Yeah, totally.
In Australia, they don't expect you to leave tips. They don't expect you to leave tips. If
really?
You leave a tip, they look at you strangely and they're like, well, thank you very much, sir.
Really?
Maybe this is an accident. You see what I'm
no
saying?
No way.
Yeah. Except they do it in an Australian accent. I can't do that accent.
Hey, crikey.
Crikey, mate. You just left me a tip. So.
That's cool, man. So did you guys leave tips and stuff? Like you were leaving
tips? I wanted to. I mean, I took a couple taxis. I left a few dollars tips. And the taxi driver would look at me. Excuse me, sir. Why are you leaving me tip? Like, that's...
Really?
Yeah, most of them are Indian. It's not... I'm not racial profiling. I'm just saying that most of them are
Josh.
Indian. But, yeah. I would leave tips to the taxi drivers, and they would look at me strangely, and they would not expect any of these tips. But in L.A., they expect you...
Totally. Like, they'll get pissed if you don't tip.
No,
if you don't tip in L.A., like, what are you doing here? Like, you can't... You actually, like, will be looked... extremely looked down upon.
Not only that, I also believe that because the prices are a lot higher in Australia.
They are higher in
at
Australia.
At least double. Mm. You know,
our movie
tickets are about, you know, 11 to 13 bucks depending on where you go. Over there, tickets start at 22 bucks.
Wow.
Movie tickets. And
what's the like
gas prices? Gas prices, $5.50 a gallon to $6 a gallon.
Wow.
So it's pretty expensive.
Okay. That's absolutely insane.
Yeah. So it's a very expensive place to live. And the apartments over there, if you want to rent out an apartment, the cheapest apartment you can get, I don't know the price, but I'll tell you the size. The cheapest apartment is 400 square feet.
No way.
300 square feet.
Wow.
Something like that.
Wow.
And our smallest apartments don't go that small.
Yeah.
Our cheapest ones. I've seen the cheapest apartments. They're not that small.
Yeah.
They're not that small. And my friend Dasha, she lives in Australia. She took me to her apartment. and she lives in a small apartment. So her kitchen, the distance between a back wall and her kitchen is about 4 or 5 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So it's very tiny apartments over there.
That's tight living. But okay. So my question is, like, obviously the
Wages
are higher.
Wages about 15, 16 bucks minimum wage.
Totally.
So it sort of cancels out, but it's still, you know, if you're making that minimum wage, people still say it's extremely expensive.
Oh, sure. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. That's crazy. Like, when you buy stuff, you know, and it says, like, it'll say, like, U.S., like, $5.99, and it'll say, like, Canada, right?
Oh, yeah, the exchange rate.
Canada will be, like,
yeah,
$8.
So, yeah. I feel you. So one American dollar to an Australian dollar. Okay. So one American dollar is about 91 Australian cents.
Okay.
Okay.
But add it up.
You're gonna lose a lot of money. Oh wait, what the hell am I saying? One Australian dollar is 91 U.S. cents. Okay.
Right.
So if you're exchanging American money into Australian money, you're getting a good rate.
Right.
But if you're converting
you're getting 8 cents.
Exactly. But if you're converting from Australian to American, then you're losing quite a bit. If you're converting thousands and thousands of dollars, you're losing a lot of money.
Wow. Do people do that? Do a lot of people do that? Like they'll like make it rich, you know, in the U.S. or something, and then they'll take their money and just exchange it?
Yeah, I mean,
my... And then, like, live in Australia?
My aunt, she lives in a pretty wealthy neighborhood, like Beverly Hills over here.
Nice, okay.
Okay,
it's like the Beverly Hills of Australia.
Beverly Hills of Australia. It's called North Caulfield. And I believe she... there's a few famous people living in her area,
yeah.
Vacation houses. So I don't want to name any names, but
pretty high profile.
They do that. They do exchange money to live in Australia, obviously.
But yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a few Americans living in Australia. Maybe they wanted to escape the American lifestyle. I don't know why they would want to do that, but.
Yeah. So okay, here's another question. Right, we're talking about you know, perceptions, having like you know, what we think is the dream, right? By the way, if you're just tuning in with us, you got in the right time. Ah, wow, that felt great. This is Dave's Good Vibration Station, LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. I'm your host, Davey Crockett. We got brother Josh in the studio. If you are just tuning in with us right now, we are talking about perceptions, how your perception of your surroundings, if that differs, right, from, you know, how somebody else perceives themselves and their surroundings. What I'm saying here is Josh just went to Australia. He lives in U.S., obviously. He was there for a month and a half, and I'm trying to ask Josh, I'm trying to pull his teeth here and see, I'm pulling his sweet little chest hairs off.
Oh God.
Poke. I'm just kidding.
That would hurt.
Well, what we're trying to find out here is, and yeah, feel free to call in, answer for yourself. 323-203-0815. Once again, that's 323-203-0815. You can also email me live on the air, davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. Once again, that's davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. Yeah. So if you want to call in, and let us know what you think. Do you think, right, what we're talking about is perceptions? Josh just went to Australia. Things are very different there, but things are also still the same. We're trying to find out certain qualities within the human being, right, to see if they're societal or if they're instinctual, right? Trying to see if people react differently when they're from another place. If they have the same kind of dreams, this is what we were just going to touch on, same dreams, same societal structure, same wants, needs, and desires, same understandings for what's important in life,
right.
Same morals, you could say. Yeah. So that's kind of what we're trying to break down for us over here. We're trying to figure out if all of that is societal or if it's instinctual. So, Josh, my question for you. In Australia, right?
Okay.
Well, better yet, no, let me rephrase. In America, we have what's called, quote-unquote, the American dream, right?
Oh, yeah.
The American dream is, you know, big house, nice cars, beautiful family, beautiful wife, you know, 2-3 kids, you know, not, you know, pillars in front of your house, and like, you know, the whole just American dream, you know, then like, you know, has a, the husband has a good career, you know, making, you know, about, you know, making good money, and, you know, so that's that, okay. That's the American dream. People leave their lives to search for the American dream.
Mm.
People take their families with them, drop everything they've ever known just to pursue this American dream. Is Australia the same way? Does Australia have an Australian dream?
I think the Australian dream...
Does it differ from the American dream?
A little bit. I think in Australia, you have to work to survive. And I think...
How's that different from America?
Well, I'm saying that in Australia... Their main goal is to work to survive.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay, I think they're worrying about families a little bit later in life. But who doesn't worry about working and surviving,
of course,
to be honest?
Of course,
I'm just saying that in L.A., people do expect more. Mm. People want more. Mm. In Australia, I think they, you know, require... They don't require. I mean, they want less. They need less.
That's cool.
Okay.
That's such a cool thing, though.
Yeah. I think Australia, I don't mean to offend any Australians over there, but I think their expectations are a little bit lower, which might be a good thing, because that way you can't be cocky about anything, and, you know, you can't be a snob. But in LA especially, people just want more. They want more, and they will not stop.
They won't stop. It's like, my neighbor just got a new pool, I gotta get a new pool.
Exactly.
My neighbor has a better car, I gotta get a better car.
Exactly. That's not how Australia operates.
Okay. Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. That's a fundamental difference. That's something that's really cool. But also, see, we're also tying in with the ego here. Now, ego is something that's in everybody, all humans. Now, all humans, right, always want to, there's this sense of like, well, you know, I want to be better than my neighbor. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, all people have this, like, sense of, like, entitlement almost, right?
Exactly.
You know, that's why, like, you know, all guys are like, oh, dude, like, I have a bigger wiener, you know? Because all guys, do you know, seriously, when you're, like, even when you're, like, 8 years old, do you know what I mean? And guys are like, oh, dude, like, you know, you're, like, with your friends, they're like, oh, Dave, I don't know what you were doing when you were 8. No, I'm just kidding. No, but do you know what I'm saying? I'm just using that as like an example. Like, you know, guys even from like a young age are like, oh, like look at my muscles. Like, oh, they're bigger.
Look
you know,
at my
like,
wiener.
Like, who? Yeah, dude. They're like, dude, David. I have a bigger wiener than you. Come on. You know, dude.
I was not talking about that when I was 8 years old.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe
know
not
what,
eight.
I don't know what David was doing when he was that young, but I don't know, guys.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about. You get my drift.
I do, okay.
Okay. So, my point being, right, in Australia, if they have, and also, when we say Australia, we are obviously using literally Australia, but I'm also kind of using Australia as like a metaphor for anything outside of the United States, right? I mean, obviously, like, China is not like Australia, so like, we're not going to like be comparing those. Like, Europe is not like Australia, but what I'm saying is like, I'm just using Australia as kind of a general metaphor for how things differ, you know, in different parts of the world. I guess, I mean, not even in the United States. For us, it would be the United States, you know, but for somebody listening in Europe right now, the United States would be Australia to us. Do you know,
the United States would be Australia to us, guys.
Yeah.
That's what David just said.
No, you... If you're listening to the show in Europe, you get what I'm saying. So, let's get down. I want to know, okay? You say that in Australia they have, you feel like they have a little bit lower of an expectation, but yeah. That's not in a bad way, in a good way, if anything. Like, you say in Australia, it's not like this constant battle of like, ooh, you know, like it is in Beverly Hills, like it is in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, my neighbor has a pool, I gotta get a better pool. Like we were just talking about, my neighbor got a nice car, I gotta get a nicer car. You say it's not like that in Australia.
I don't.
Like, is that kind of like, is that a general, and this isn't the first time you've been to Australia. You've been there multiple times.
Multiple times.
Right.
At least 15 times.
Right. That's why you're so experienced. You know exactly what it's all about. You feel the vibes. You have family there. You're practically Australian. Do you think that's a product of the culture? Do you think it's a product of the culture? Do you think it's a product of like the societal like standards, like the culture?
I'm trying to think that over. I'm trying to think that maybe if the prices were lower, maybe that would have some great impact on what people would drive, what people would expect. But since the prices over there are so freaking high, I think that people are just, you know, okay, I'm going to get that car. I don't care how it looks like on the inside or outside. As long as it has wheels and a working motor, I'm going to buy it. Because it's cheap and it's going to get me from A to B. Okay?
What about like wealth? What about like wealthy Australians?
There are definitely wealthy Australians.
Like, do you think that they're, because you said that your family lived in kind of a wealthy neighborhood of Australia, right?
Yeah.
So, like, are they really like, you know, are people like on that side of town really like pretentious, if you will?
I honestly, no.
No? That's awesome.
I haven't seen that.
That's so cool.
I mean, there's a homie of mine told me who's an Australian native.
Mm.
He told me that there's about 20 very, very rich Australians, like millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. They have Lambos, you know, they have mansions.
There's only like 20?
There's only about 20.
Like super filthy rich Australians?
Yes.
Yeah. And they're all what do they do? Like they do you know what they do?
I honestly don't know what they do. They could be drug trafficking. I don't know what they do.
Yeah.
But they are the wealthy ones.
They probably own like an oil well or something. It's just in Australia? I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, that's interesting. We have quite a few of those. We have more than 20, let's put it that way, of just, like, you know, really kind of flaunting their money, people. I mean, dude, there's so many, even in, like, really, you know, not the best neighborhoods in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
You will have, just right around the corner, you will have, you know, multi-million dollar houses. And you'll have people that are just, you know, it's the, you know, these big corporate guys, you know, CEOs of, you know, this and that and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's all flaunty, but
I actually have something to add.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About the culture over there. Let's say it's a Friday night. You want to go to a coffee house.
Okay.
A lounge or something like that. Over there, there's a ton of family-owned businesses.
Okay.
Just like in LA, but especially for the nightlife.
That's cool.
It's actually difficult, at least where I was staying, to find a Starbucks. And I was staying, you know, in the city area. You know, we would go out.
That's funny.
We would go out. We would go to a family-owned coffee house, family-owned bar, family-owned everything,
yeah,
pretty much. Okay. But in LA, if you were to try to find a family-owned coffee house, it would be extremely difficult.
You would have to pass 30 Starbucks.
Honestly, yeah. You would end up just going to a Starbucks because it would be so difficult to find a family-owned coffee house. And in my opinion, going to a family-owned coffee house, I just the atmosphere is so much nicer, you know. Yeah, you support corporations, but I think family-owned businesses is where it's at.
No, dude, support family-owned businesses, bro.
Do it.
We don't need to support corporations.
No.
I mean, we do to an extent, but they have their support, right?
Yeah.
What I'm saying, like, family-owned businesses, okay, but imagine this. So imagine a world. Imagine a world where Now, I'm not necessarily saying that this is ideal. I'm just saying imagine. I'm not saying this is good or bad. I'm just saying imagine. Now imagine a world where there were no corporations. Imagine a world where everything was family owned and operated. Like, meaning, like, that family that wanted to start their coffee shop, right, could and could be successful because there's not a corporation. And those, like, sorry, those, like, 30 other families that want to start their coffee shops can, and they will all be supported. Instead of just this one thumb, do you know, this one balloon. So go on.
I was going to say that I don't think a world without corporations would ever exist.
Word.
Okay, and this is my explanation. If you were to go to a very successful family-owned coffee shop, and they would get so much money, so much success, they would look to expand.
Of course.
Expansion will most likely lead to a corporation.
Absolutely. Totally.
Okay.
Greed. It's like that like greed, that needing more and more and more, that constant, yeah.
David, let me ask you a question.
I got an answer.
What what do men with power want?
More.
More power.
That's true.
It's in our DNA. It's hardwired into our brains.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You're right. What if everybody could come to like a collective agreement to where everyone's like, listen, okay, so here's the 50 families over here that like that want to open a coffee shop. Okay, 50 families over here, you open your coffee shops, spread them from here to here. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, and then there's other 50 families over here that want to have their restaurants. You know, well, instead of, you know, oh, cool. Oh, all different ethnic. Awesome. That's perfect. You know, but then if we didn't have corporations, how do we get, you know, mass amounts of food shipped? How do we get shrimp? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, how do we get enough shrimp to feed the valley? Do you know what I mean? How do we
which is why I think that the world, it is impossible to not have any corporations. It's impossible. If there's no corporations, there will be corporations. And if there are corporations, family businesses will most likely fail, unfortunately. That's why it's really important to become an entrepreneur and start a unique kind of business.
Yes.
Very unique business. Something that has not been, you know, thought of before, and it's really good to be creative about
totally,
that.
Totally, totally. Something something that's like original, something that's you. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's not something that like you need to go and search for, right? I feel like it's something that'll just come.
It's a calling.
And everybody has it. Every single person has that. Josh, you're what a guy. So, can I say that we've come to the conclusion that, let's see, most human agreements, most actions, most things that people do not knowingly, we can attribute that to instinctual.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For example, somebody cuts you off in line, you get mad. Whether you're in United States, whether you're in Australia, whether you're in Japan, whether you're in Europe, if somebody cuts you in line, you're going to get mad.
Yeah.
If somebody cuts you off on the freeway, you're going to get mad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If somebody comes up to you and hands you $100,
you're going to get a smile on your face.
You're going to be happy. Whether you're in Japan, Europe, Asia, right? Okay, but there is a layer that is absolutely societal. Because, let's take this. If you, like Josh was saying earlier, if Josh didn't tip in Los Angeles, he'd get looked down upon.
I would.
Especially imagine being on a date. Imagine being with a girl on a date going out to a restaurant in LA and not tipping. She probably would be like, what is your problem?
No.
Right?
No.
Okay, now, then in Australia,
complete opposite.
Totally normal. You're like, wait, why are you giving me money? Why are you, right? Okay. So that's cool. That's weird to think about, though. Josh, oh my gosh.
Hey, not to mention the slang is completely different.
Oh, is it?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, totally. I could imagine.
Oh, my goodness.
I could imagine. Josh, this is the real big question that everybody needs to know.
Mm.
Do the toilets flush the other way?
They do.
Wow.
But this is really, really funny. You're going to like this.
Okay.
Each toilet in each household of Australia has two different buttons. One button flushes only half the tank of water, and the other button flushes the whole entire tank. One button is obviously meant for pee. One button is obviously meant for poo.
Yeah.
And each household has that. I just find that funny. In America, we just have one little lever. We just
totally.
Push that.
No, that's cool. That's cool. That's funny that you said that. We actually just got installed on our toilets the halfer.
Oh, you have it too?
Yeah. But it's like new. It's like new and like, you know, like it's not like all my friends' houses that like I go to and stuff, like they, you know, it's just a handle. So every household in Australia has that?
Yes.
That's cool. That's cool though, because that's saving water. That's like what we all, you know, we've had shows on that.
Well, Australia actually had a really big water problem a few years back.
Really?
Yeah, they only had about 24% of their water supply, so it was really, really
bad. Wait, they
bad.
Only had about 24% of their water supply?
Yeah, it was really bad.
What does that mean?
A few years back. They just had a really bad drought, no water, no rain. It was really difficult for them to get their source of water. So they needed to conserve water as much as they possibly could.
That's crazy.
Now I think they're back up to, you know, back up to par. So that's good. And I think these buttons on the toilets will actually save quite a bit of water.
Oh, it absolutely will.
And in their showers, Americans are going to hate this.
Oh, no,
in their showers,
let's hear it.
In their showers, there's barely any water pressure.
Really?
Yeah. No water pressure.
Really?
It's just like a faucet, and you're washing your head under a faucet. There's no water pressure whatsoever. And Americans love water pressure when they go inside a shower, don't they, David? They just love that.
That's what it's all about.
It's the water pressure. It massages your skin. You love it. But in Australia, to conserve water, the water pressure is a lot lower.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how I feel about that. To be quite frank, I don't know how I feel about that. I would probably be a little like...
It's a little disappointing, David. Especially...
Were you a little put off by it, Josh?
I was put off. You know, when I got off the plane in Melbourne International Airport, I was like, God damn it, I need a shower.
Ready for a shower.
I am ready for a shower.
Ready for a shower.
So I got into that. I got into my... family's house, and I got into the shower.
Got in your birthday suit?
Yeah, I got my birthday suit. I got into the shower, and I turn on the shower. I get the soap. I get the loofah. I start working my body.
Get all ready for it.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a little too graphic here. I turn on the shower. Drip, 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 drip. What the hell is this? There's no water pressure.
No.
Drip. Drip.
Were they drip? Like, did you say, were you like, how did you turn the shower on?
And it was on full, guys. Drip, drip.
Wait. It does more than just drip, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a whole bunch of different drips, but it still drips.
It's drip, not...
drip, 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 like something like that. In America, we have showers that sound beautiful like this.
That is a good sounding shower.
In Australia, drip,
not,
drip, drip,
not
drip, drip,
only
drip.
Do we have showers with quite a bit of water pressure, but in the U.S. we also have multi-headed showers.
Oh, goodness.
There's showers where there's multiple heads on or in the shower, right? So, like, talk about a waste of water. You know what I'm saying? No, it's true. It's funny. I went to... I performed music at this wedding, and it was for this really, really awesome guy, beautiful home in Dana Point. For those of you that aren't familiar with Dana Point, it's like right on the coast, past like Laguna and everything. I stayed at his house because we were getting the music together, and I was working with a band, and we were going to be performing. And he goes, "Oh, you guys can just have my house. You know, I'm staying in the hotel for the night. You guys stay in my house, rehearse music." Next morning, I wake up. I'm just like, "All right, big day, ready for a nice shower." The housekeeper who stayed there with us, she directed me to his shower. She goes, "Oh, he said that you can just use his shower."
I like where this is going.
Me too. I walk into the room. It's a humongous room, beautiful room. I then proceed to walk into another entirely different room, which happens to be the bathroom. And that's literally what was going through my head. Just this music. Yes. There was, I counted, 7 shower heads.
Oh, God.
There were 7 shower heads. There was one on top. There was like 2 on each side.
That is nuts.
It was crazy. There was like there was a bench, like a marble bench in the shower.
This guy was loaded.
Well, yeah, totally. But like the thing is, like, whether you're loaded or not, you know, you ain't gonna get any cleaner. You know, like 7 shower heads isn't gonna, like, you know, it's just a phenomenal waste of water, to be honest. And I mean, in Australia, like, do you think they have like crazy stuff like that? I'm sure they do.
Maybe the rich ones do, but you know, if you're an average, like, middle class, I don't think you really...
Well, I don't think the middle class has 7 shower heads in Los Angeles either.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just in and of itself, it goes to show, you know, that we're actually willing enough to, like, have 7 shower heads installed in our house.
Mm.
I mean, it's cool and it's good and whatever, but I just think that we need to be more conscious-minded, more conscious of, you know, what we're doing. We need to be more conscious of the water we're using. Yeah, we always talk about that, you know, of the things that we're killing.
Yeah.
The what we're doing with our land. So that's off topic. I'm glad though that we came to this understanding. So, folks, if you go, you know, to another part of the world,
don't expect too much. You know, expect the nice sights, but, you know, a beautiful hotel room with marble countertops. I mean, don't expect all that.
Yeah. And I guess there are absolutely, you know, instinctual blueprints that all humans have in their programming. And I think that, you know, when I say blueprints and, you know, programming, like, we all have the ability to change anything about ourselves, even if it's like we're like, "Oh, we were born with it." I still think you can change that. You can, you know, but when it comes to, you know, what our society has to offer versus what other societies have to offer, I think that, you know, Los Angeles kind of, well, when I say Los Angeles, that is microscopic in comparison to the United States. But, you know, Los Angeles, us broadcasting out of Los Angeles, you know, the United States still has that whole kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that everybody in the U.S. is like a jackass. No, it's like,
unfortunately,
you know, just, you know, overweight and mean. Overweight and a middle finger in your face, right? That's what everybody thinks of America. Which, you know what, isn't half a bad description. No, I'm kidding.
We're nice, aren't we,
well,
guys?
Well, I am a little overweight, and I do have a middle finger in your face.
David is not overweight. He has a sexy body.
I'm just kidding.
Beautiful, no. Beautiful surfer body.
Yeah, right. No, I'm just kidding. I have a big peace sign in your face, though. I'm saying love, brothers and sisters.
Hell yeah.
Love, brothers and sisters. So, listen up, guys. I think we had a really knowledgeable show today. Thank you, Josh, for your experiences in Australia. Thank you so much for inviting me back into the studio. Dude, you're the brother, the dog. Thank you for always being a part of the Vibration Station.
Oh, it's great to be back.
You know, I think that we learned a lot today when it comes to finding out why, right? Why we do things. Our place in our society, our place in the world. And next time you think about, you know, your reaction to something, ask yourself really if it's benefiting yourself and everybody else in your surroundings.
Yeah, man.
Once again, this is your host, Davey Crockett, Dave's Good Vibration Station on LETalkRadio.com. This is the show where we send unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. We'll see you next week, guys.
Bye-bye, guys. Peace.
Pray to God he doesn't choke. Fuck it, man. Let's smoke. Just another deep motivator and excuse to puff puff pass. Go back to class. Rhythm won't get you anywhere in life right now. Little to my understanding, I'm so young, shit is demanding. I paint a pretty picture with my mind's eye with a million words. I see kids holding up diamonds. I see stars keeping me shining. I see teachers keeping me whining. I see my wings keeping me flying. Above circumstances keeping me down. The darkness compounds, love surrounds, and our music is bound to shake the ground like two kings with two crowns. It's absolutely possible, more like unstoppable. When it hits you, makes your spine chill like you popped a knee pill. More than probable, watch me nod out. Just injected this vibration into the collective. That's what we're about.